We're going to turn again, please, to Joshua chapter number 20. I'm going to look at this passage this morning as we continue on with our studies in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 20. And with God's word open before us, let us just bow together, please, in a short word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee today, even for this Mother's Day. We thank Thee for our mothers, Lord, and we thank Thee for their faithfulness and for their love and their kindness to us, even throughout the years. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of them. Help us to care for them, no matter what age in life they might be. And help us to honor them in the ways of the Lord, we ask of Thee. And Lord, bless our mothers today. Meet their needs and encourage them in the ways of God. And any who know not the Lord as Savior, we pray that Thou wilt save them and that Thou, Lord, would unite our families in the Lord. Again, Lord, we thank Thee for Thy word today. We thank Thee that Thy word is truth. And we thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast said that My word shall not return unto Me void. And Father, we plead that promise, O God, before Thee today. Bless Thy word to saint and to sinner alike in this meeting tonight, today. Lord, use it to the salvation of souls, to the blessing of Your people, to the glorifying of Christ. To this end, O God, cleanse me afresh in the precious blood of Christ. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost, with the power of God. Give help and enablement to preach Your word. And Lord, we pray that every word might be as thus, and thus saith the Lord. Abide with us, grant us a real sense of the presence of God. Hide man behind the cross. And Lord, speak through Thy word with great power and with great blessing and with great challenge, O God, to all our hearts as Thou alone would see the need today. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and for Thine eternal glory. Amen and amen. Our text for today is the verse number 2 of Joshua chapter number 20. Let me read with you again that verse. It says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I speak unto you by the hand of Moses. Now in this chapter here before us, the Lord is instructing Joshua regarding the appointment of cities of refuge in the land of Israel. That was God's message there to Joshua and the people in the middle of our text, verse 2. Appoint out for you as cities of refuge. The names of those six cities are given to us in verse 7 and verse 8 of the chapter. It says, and they appointed Kadesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali, and Shechem and Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron in the mountain of Judah, and on the other side, Jordan by Jericho eastward. They assigned Bezer in the wilderness, upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. Now the purpose of these six cities of refuge was to provide a refuge from the avenger of blood for that person who had unwittingly, or if you like, accidentally killed another person, as we might call today even a manslaughter. And you see that in verse 3 of the chapter. It says that the slayer that killeth any person, notice it, unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. Whenever we read here about the slaying of another, it's important for us to remember what the Word of God has to say about this. And God's moral law declares very plainly that whenever a person deliberately takes another person's life in an act of murder, then they are condemned to die by capital punishment. That is God's law, God's decree from the very foundation of time to the end of time. And God instituted that decree and Genesis chapter 9 and the verse 6. And he says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And people, it is the responsibility of every sovereign government, of every civil government, to put to death all those who are found guilty of murder in a court of law. And that truth just isn't taught in the Old Testament. It is also taught as well in the New Testament. If you go over, please, to Romans chapter 13. And the verse number 4, there Paul is teaching about the responsibilities of God's people to civil government, and also the responsibilities of civil government in the land. And look at what he says about the civil government and the magistrate who acts under the authority of that government in verse 4 of Romans chapter 13. He says, "For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." And people, this is God's way of dealing with those who commit the terrible crime and act of murder, no matter who that person is or who those persons may be. Now, also under the Levitical law, the person who had killed someone unintentionally or accidentally, they too were liable to death by the revenger of blood. And again, that shows to us that the shedding of blood, the taking of another person's life, is a very serious and a very solemn thing in the sight of God. People, irrespective of what people tell us today, you remember this, that God's woe is upon the nation that sanctions and that funds the wholesale slaughter of innocent children and the awful sin and the awful crime of abortion. My, it is a serious and a solemn thing for anyone to take the blood of another. And God's judgment is upon those that murder those. And God's judgment is upon the nation that sanctions the murder also of the unborn child. However, in His sovereign grace and mercy, in the chapter before us this morning, we read of how God provided these six cities of refuge for the inadvertent manslayer. Now, once he fled inside any one of these cities, he was safe from death, and he was safe from the revenger of blood. Look at verse 4 and 5 of the chapter, you'll see that. It says, "And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time." In the gospel, these cities here are a wonderful picture. They're a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God's appointed refuge for sinners. By speaking of Christ as his own Savior, David could speak of the Lord in Psalm 32, and he could say, "Thou art my hiding place. And my justice, this manslayer, was to find safety here in the city of refuge." So it is only through the person and through the work of Christ that any sinner can find refuge from their sin and the awful penalty of their sin in a lost, Christless sinner's hell. And as we would then consider these cities this morning, these cities of refuge, as a picture, as a type of Christ our Savior, there are three things I want you to note. If you're here today and you're not seeing, oh, that you might see in these cities a wonderful picture of Christ, the only one who can save your soul and forgive your sin and fit you for heaven. First of all, I want you to see today that these cities of refuge remind us of Christ's sacrifice for sin. These six cities of refuge, they belong to the Levites, the priestly tribe. Numbers chapter 35 and the verse 6, it says, among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be six cities for refuge, which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither. Under the Jewish law, the Levites, the tribe of Levi, was responsible for the continual offering up of a sacrifice to God for the sins of the people. In Hebrews chapter 5 and the verse 1 it says there, for every priest taken from among men, that is of the tribe of Levi, is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. And in the sacrifices there of the Levites that were offered up in the cities of refuge, you have, if you like, a great gospel type, a great gospel picture of the one and only sacrifice for sinful man, that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. And my, by that sacrifice, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He satisfied God's justice. He satisfied the demands of God's law in full. The Bible speaks of Christ and that sacrifice. And it says, but this man offered one sacrifice for sin forever. Turn your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter 1. And to the verses 18 and 19. And there you see how Peter reminds us again of this sacrifice and the great purpose and plan of God's redemption and God's salvation for sinners. He says in 1 Peter 1 verses 18 and 19, he says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And when he talks there about Christ the Lamb, he's speaking there of a sacrifice for sin upon the cross, the middle tree of Calvary. Oh, the hymn writer spake of Christ and said there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. The Bible speaks of Christ and it describes Christ as the Lamb slain from before the very foundation of the world. He's the only sacrifice for sin for the Old Testament time and the New Testament time to the very end of time itself. Oh friend, this morning realize this, that it is only through faith in Christ and his sacrifice alone that any sinner can find acceptance before a thrice holy God. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. Unsaved man, unsaved woman, young person in our meeting this morning, you who are still in your sin, you who are still under the guilt and the condemnation of your sin to a lost eternity in hell, realize this, you can only find peace with God. You can only find acceptance with God through faith in the person of Christ and in the sacrifice for sin upon the cross. The Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Paul wrote of Christ to the church at Corinth and he said this, for God he hath made him to be sin for us, that he who knew no sin might be made sin for us, that through him we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And friend, it is by trusting in Christ alone as Savior that you can be declared righteous before God, that you can be accepted in the presence of the Holy God of heaven through none other but Christ, the Lamb of God. And just as a little child in a crowd has to be lifted up upon its father's shoulders to see, so my friend, it's only through faith in Christ and his sacrifice alone that you can be lifted up to a right standing with God. You see, the Bible speaks of Christ and says he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You can only find acceptance with God through Christ and through his sacrifice upon the cross. Yes, these cities of refuge, they remind you of Christ's sacrifice for sin. But something else this morning, in the second place, we can say these cities of refuge also remind you that Christ is the sinner's substitute. Look again at verse number 6 there of Joshua chapter number 20. And it says of the manservant, he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, and unto the city from which he fled. And there you see in that verse how the manslayer had to remain in the city of refuge until the death of the high priest. Now once the high priest died, he was allowed to go free without fear of being slain by the revenger of blood. This is because under Jewish law, the death of the high priest was accepted as a substitute for the manslayer been put to death. The high priest's death was a substitute for the man who had slain or had killed unwittingly or accidentally. Now, when you think there of the death of the high priest, surely that reminds us of the substitutionary death of Christ, our great high priest. What did Peter say of Christ? He said, for Christ also have once suffered for sin, the just for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He speaks there of Christ as a substitutionary sacrifice for sin. Again, Isaiah speaks of that same substitutionary work. In verse 5 of Isaiah 53, he says there of Christ, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with the stripes we are healed. And now, by the death of Christ on the cross, what did Jesus do as our substitute? He paid in full. Remember that. He paid in full the penalty of sin for all his people. Remember the cry of Christ upon the cross. He cried out, it is finished. Finished. Complete. He paid in full the penalty of judgment for all his people. Yes, all the wrath of God that all his people deserved for their sin, it was laid upon Christ as he hung upon the cross of Calvary. In those long 3 dark hours when he hung upon that cross between heaven and earth, there he bore the judgment as our substitute for our sins. Now the Bible says the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible says he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He bore the penalty that we deserve for our sins upon himself. Turn again over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And look at what Peter says in the verse number 24 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter again is thinking here of the substitutionary work of Christ. Christ taking the guilt, the penalty, the hell of our sin upon himself. In verse 24 of 1 Peter chapter 2, it says of Christ who his own self, notice it, bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Christ was sinless, Christ was spotless. But when he hung upon the cross, the guilt of all our sin, the guilt and the sin of all who will ever trust Christ as Savior, was laid upon Christ, transferred to Christ, our substitute. And he bore it in full on the cross of Calvary. My friend, that is why Christ cried out upon the cross at the end of the 3 hours of darkness, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken of God. God Almighty, God Eternal, the eternal Son of God was forsaken of the eternal Almighty God because he took upon himself the wrath, the judgment the punishment of our sin that we deserved. Oh, in this world, some people have suffered terribly. But you know, there's nothing or no one or no suffering that can ever compare to the sufferings of Christ upon the cross when he bore upon himself God's wrath for our sin. It's a mystery. It is beyond all compare. It is beyond all description. No matter how good man's descriptive words might be, they all come short of the sufferings that Christ entered into upon the cross of Calvary. The Lord himself, speaking of that suffering through the prophet Jeremiah, in the book of Lamentations, says, "Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow." No sorrow like that of Christ. Hymn writer says, "But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night the Lord passed through, ere he found the sheep that was lost." Friend, I must say to you this morning, unsaved, it is only by you receiving Christ by faith as your substitute for your sin that you can be saved from the awful punishment that is due you for your sin in a lost sinner's hell. It is only by you accepting Christ as the substitute in your place that you can be saved from the wrath that is upon you because of your sin. You think of that question that Jesus asked when he was here on earth. What a question it was. What a solemn statement it was. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? How can you escape a lost eternity, friend? Unsaved and unbelieving. The answer is this. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I, just as the Allied forces laid down their lives in World War II to deliver our nation from the oppression of Nazi Germany, so Christ willingly laid down his life upon the cross, willingly shed his blood to provide a way for sinners like you and I to be saved from the awful penalty and ruin of our sin in a lost sinner's hell. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Friend, realize this. You cannot be saved from hell through your good works, no matter how good your works are. You cannot be saved by your own self-righteousness, no matter how righteous you may be in this society. You cannot be saved from the wrath to come by the ritual of your church or the ordinances of your church or the membership of your church, no matter how orthodox that church may be. If you are to be saved from the wrath to come, you must believe on Christ alone as your substitute for your sin. The Bible says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." The hymn writer could say, "My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead." Are you trusting in Christ this morning? Are you resting upon his blood for the cleansing away of your sin? Are you resting upon Christ for the salvation of your soul from a lost eternity in hell? Why, when you come today, when you come to leave the scene of time, the only hope you will have in your final moments and your final breath will be if you have Christ as your Savior. Nothing then will be any good to you apart from Christ. This is the all important thing. This is the thing that is most needful. Are you in Christ today? Can you say, "My hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness"? Yes, these studies remind us of the sacrifice of Christ. They remind us of the substitutionary nature of that sacrifice, Christ dying in our place. But one final thing this morning, these cities of refuge also remind us that Christ is the guarantee of the sinner's salvation. Look at verse 5 there of the chapter 20 of the book of Joshua. It says, "If the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. Why, while the monster you see there from verse 5, while he abided in the city, he was safe from the avenger of blood. Inside that city, he could live in peace. He could live in rest. He could live in comfort. He could live without any fear of being killed himself. And the thing to note here was that his safety was divinely guaranteed by God himself. For it was the Lord himself who was speaking here on this matter through Joshua. Look at how verse 1 begins. It says, "Then the Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying," and then in verse 5, God goes on to say, "And if the avenger of the blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand." He was guaranteed safety, rest, peace, comfort by God himself. It was sure. And you know, in like manner, that same guarantee of salvation is offered to every soul that trusts Christ as their Savior alone. Remember what Peter said to the believers. 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse 5, going through a time of great trial. He reminded them of their security in Christ. And he says of God's people who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Friend, when you trust Christ as Savior, the Lord will keep you, save you by his grace and by his power, not just for time, but for all of eternity. My, with Christ as your Savior, you'll find perfect rest for your sin-weary soul. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Christ's power is such that he can break the fetters, the chains of sin that bind your life. Friend, by faith in Christ as Savior, you can know the forgiveness of all of your sins. You remember what Paul said to the people at Antioch about faith in Christ, a Savior? He said, "Be it known unto you that through him is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe shall be justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." God will forgive all your sins. Also, through faith in Christ the Savior, you have eternal life. You have the assurance of a home in heaven. The Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life." Paul said to those in Thessalonica whose faith was in Christ, he said, "So shall we ever be with the Lord." Christ said, "I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish." You're around the coast of our country. You have many little fishing villages all around the coast. And each one of those villages have a harbour. And in the day of storm, when the wind is blowing, and when the waves are high in the sea, that harbour is the only place of safety for the little fishing boat or for the fishing vessel. Friend, I want to say to you this morning, there is only one safe harbour for you from your sin. And from the storm of God's wrath that is most surely coming. And that harbour is the person and the work of God's eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only harbour of rest, the only harbour of refuge for your soul, for you to be saved from your sins, and for you to be saved from a lost eternity in hell. Turn with me back or over to Isaiah chapter 32. Here we have one of the most beautiful pictures of Christ in all of the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 32 and the verse number 2. Isaiah here is speaking to us prophetically of Christ. And just look at what he says there as our refuge from sin. He says, "A man," that's the God man, the Lord Jesus Christ, "shall be an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock." The weary land. Look at that verse. Friend, Christ there is called a hiding place. Is he your hiding place this morning? He's called there a covert from the tempest. Let me say, is he your covert, your covering today? describes them there as rivers of water in a dry place. Is he the one that satisfies your soul? Is that who you're resting upon today? He is called there the shadow of a great rock. And we really think of the Middle East and the intense sun. Think of the beauty of the shade there is from the sun under the rock. Are you resting today upon Christ, the rock of ages? He's the only refuge for your soul. None other but Christ, the Lamb of God. It's very interesting to note there, if you go back to Joshua chapter 20, that these cities of refuge, as we've already mentioned, were appointed by God. They were appointed by God. They were God's appointment. And friend, let me make it clear to you that Christ is the only one that God has appointed for you to be saved. There's none other, only Christ. Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. It's also interesting to note here in Joshua 20 that these six cities were all set upon a hill in Israel. They all could be seen. They all were in an eminent place. And friend, in the gospel, Christ is set before you as the only hope of salvation for your soul. What was the message of Paul? He spake of Christ and he said in the gospel, Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. In the gospel and in the word of God, Christ is set before you from Genesis to Revelation as your only hope of salvation. Something else here to note here in Joshua chapter 20. These six cities, they just weren't available to the Jews. They were also available to the Gentile people, whoever they were in the nation at that time. For Numbers chapter 35 and the verse 15 it says, these cities shall be a refuge both for Israel and for the stranger, the Gentile. Friend, no matter who you are in this meeting this morning, no matter what your sin is or your sin has been, I want to tell you the good news of the gospel is this: there is hope for you in Christ today to save you. For the Bible says the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. Something else here to note from Joshua chapter 20. These cities were accessible throughout the land. They all could be reached within a day's journey. Wherever a person was living, they could reach the city safely within a day's journey. The cities were near to hand. Friend, I want to say this morning that Christ has died, yes, but he's risen again. And Christ is accessible to you for salvation. The Lord is near you today. He says in his word, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Come to Christ today while he is near and trust him as Savior. The psalmist says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. And if you humble yourself before God, if you repent of your sin and call upon the Lord will hear your call. The Lord will save your soul. God is not afar off. He's here today, friend, unseen, speaking to your heart. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Something else here to note in Joshua chapter 20. If this manslayer was to avail of the protection of these cities of refuge, I want you to note, and makes it very clear three times in the chapter, it says he had to flee to these cities. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 4. It says that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly, notice it, may flee thither. Notice that word, flee. Look at verse 4 again. It says there, and when he that doth flee unto one of those cities. And again you have the same word, flee, down in the latter part of the chapter. It's only a little word, but I'm sure we're all familiar with the meaning of the word flee. F-L-E-E. Speaks of urgency. Speaks of haste. You think of this man, sir, he would have been a fool indeed to have loitered on his way to the city of refuge. He would have been slain by the revenger of blood. He wouldn't have stood a chance. And God made it very clear. He was to flee. He was to run with all haste, with all strength, to the only place of safety, the only refuge. Friend, is that not a picture of how you should come to Christ for salvation? You are to flee to Christ. You're not to delay. It's madness to play about with the gospel and remain outside of Christ. It's folly. The word of God says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. God says today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. You delay in coming to Christ. You die in your sin. All hope for you ever to be saved is gone. It is gone forever. And don't think that this is something you need to tend to later on in life. David says there's but a step between me and death. You and I are just one breath away from eternity, from death itself. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Unsaved man, unsaved woman in her meeting, unsaved young person, unsaved boy and girl in the meeting this morning, I urge you, I press upon you today to flee to Christ. Christ says, flee from the wrath to come. The Lord says, come now. Let us reason together. Don't you go out of the meeting this morning rejecting the Lord as your Savior. Come to him. Trust him. And own him as your Lord. As your Savior. We're just going to bow together in a word of prayer. Time is gone. We're not going to have a closing hymn. If you're not saved, I urge you as you sit in this seat to call upon the Lord. Ask the Lord to save you. If you'd like to speak with us after the meeting, I'd be in no hurry away. Only too glad to open up the word of God with you. But you are to press into the kingdom of God. Seek the Lord. Don't go on another moment, another day, without Christ as your Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence with us this morning. Bless thy word and thy truth to all of our hearts today. We thank that Christ is our refuge from sin and from a lost eternity for time and for eternity. We thank thee, Lord, for each one in the meeting that has pressed into that refuge. But Lord, if there's any loitering outside of Christ without a hope, Lord, speak to them today. May they not leave the meeting unsaved, unconverted. But oh, that today they would choose Christ. They would confess their sins to him and trust him as their own and personal Savior. Give believing faith and deciding grace to this end. Part us with your fear and favor. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless us throughout this day. Bless the meeting again tonight. And Lord, help us to live to the praise of thy glory. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and for your glory and honor we pray. Amen. Amen.